Good morning. Welcome to worship this sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. Thanks for coming on what also some people consider Super Bowl Sunday. And my sister says this is the right color for the day. I will not be watching, so I don't know. All right. I invite you to stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The Lord sets forth before the people of God a clear choice. Life and prosperity will come to the faithful. Loss of the land will be the consequence of disobedience. Choosing life entails loving and holding fast to the Lord. Life in God's presence presupposes the promise made to the ancestors. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life. Human leaders in the church are not the ones who control ministry. Rather, they are the co-workers who belong to God, the one who truly controls and continuously empowers the ministry of the church. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. And that's the whole sermon for today. This is the kind of text pastors plan their vacation around. But it's important that we hear these texts because they still speak truth to us. So let us put it in context of this season, that we are in Sundays after Epiphany, again, when the Magi were led to Jesus. During this season, we use the color green to remind us it's a season of growth, and it is a growth in our understanding of who Jesus is. This God incarnate for us. So we are coming to know Jesus more clearly, and in that we understand more fully what it is God would desire for us. And as harsh as this reading, and actually the Old Testament reading, which is just more beautiful, was, it is to help protect the vulnerable, to help us think about our relationships and our community and what is needed. It is to call us back in repentance to right relationship, because that is why Jesus came into the world, to draw us back into right relationship with God. I think this text is still hard for us to hear today, though. I come from a family with divorced parents. I have other experiences in this text that make me cringe. People that have taken it very seriously, and in our program, I think of one person in particular who cut off part of himself following this scripture. So, is that what is intended? I will tell you, I used to get letters from my grandmother telling me how my parents were going to hell because they were divorced. No. Again, these texts are about healing and wholeness. What do we need in our communities is we need to be seen and heard. And we are called to live faithfully and well, not because of what we receive, although we do receive riches of a sense, right? When we're all looking out for each other, when we're all thinking kindly of one another, think how much better our communities would be. It's not turning away from injustice and sin. It's seeing it and speaking truth to it in ourselves and in others out of love. So I had a couple things come up for me when I was pondering this text during the week. And the first thing that jumped right out at me for both, or really for all the readings today, is that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's not an excuse then to do whatever we want. It's a recognition that we are all on this plane together. all in need of repentance, forgiveness, and life. But it also made me think of all the different dualities we have in Lutheranism, how we love to confuse people so that we are at the same time saint and sinner, and also this idea of bound and free. We are at the same time completely free as disciples, as children of God, to do what we want, but also bound in love to neighbor, servant to all. So we have these different things going on. And as you know, I don't write my sermons, so I thought I was going to be talking about something different this morning, but then I read my devotional, and I wanted to share with you what it said today, because it fits so well. It's called Standing Up Again, and it is from Faith Alone, a Daily Devotional, based off Martin Luther's writings. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. We are all sinners, and at times we fall into sin. But when true Christians fall, they soon come back, turn around, and struggle again against the sin so they won't offend their neighbor. To illustrate, it's difficult to avoid being wounded in times of war, yet it's an honor if one stands up to fight again. But it's a disgrace if someone retreats. Similarly, even if Christians are completely surrounded by sin, they should still fight against it. Some people think they are Christians because they have been baptized. These people give their desires free rein and don't care about conquering their sins. They merely follow their own cravings. Committing sin comes from following the enticement and desire to sin. Many give their sinful desires free rein. They don't want to repent or stand up to fight again. Today they commit adultery. Tomorrow they want to live purely. It's impossible for these people to avoid offending their neighbor. If they don't offend them by something they do, then they certainly will by neglecting what they ought to do for their neighbor. An important part of Christianity is love. And love is not self-seeking. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Insisting on your own way is not loving our neighbor, but following our own desires. So not showing love is the same as being disobedient. Those who aren't pure, who don't struggle daily against themselves, will give in to sin and do wrong. Those who don't have the fruit on the inside won't show it on the outside towards their neighbor. If we have not died to ourselves so that we can disregard our own desires, how can we seek what is best for others? I also think for those of you who are able to attend that very powerful class this morning, that that's one of the issues that Jan touched on repeatedly about looking outside of oneself. Jesus calls us to look outside of ourselves for our own sakes and for the sake of all creation. It doesn't say we are only good people when. It says, you are my beloved child, and I will never forsake you. God gives us a reason for hope and for joy. God loves us without end and without question. And God calls us to repentance so that we may experience life to its fullest. Today we encounter the one who is able to take our sins and our death upon himself. The one who, by allowing his body to be broken, gives us life. And he invites us to the table to hear, to see, to know, to taste forgiveness and love. He invites you to this table to be strengthened and sustained. And he invites us to this table because we need this meal before and as we are propelled out into the world to choose life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated or kneel for the prayers of the church.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Inspire your church that it may be a sign of life throughout the world. Shape lives of faithfulness so that all find abundant life in your ways. Lord, in your mercy. Nourish your creation. Accompany all who plant and water. Bless the work of farmers. Provide for subsistence farmers facing drought and climate change. Guide the work of agricultural scientists towards sustainable ways to feed the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give growth where there seems to be no hope for life. In nations and regions where reconciliation seems impossible, especially in Ukraine, empower peacemakers with your spirit. Where death holds sway through natural disasters, violence, disease, and hunger, equip relief workers to bring hope. We pray especially for those suffering in Syria and Turkey. Lord, in your mercy. Nurture all in need. Bring healing to all who experience trauma caused by the systems of injustice and destructive relationships. Give courage to those struggling to repent and those seeking reconciliation. Sustain all who work for restoration. Lord, in your mercy. Encourage this congregation. Call us to a common purpose and keep us from quarreling. Turn your hearts towards you and guide our leaders so that our choices may be life-giving for all. Lord, in your mercy. For whom or what else do the people of God pray?
God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of life for everyone. Fill those who hunger. Comfort the grieving and attend to those near death. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care. We lift up before you Pastor Dan's family, Lene and Ivor, the Unseth family, the Ritchie family, Candy, Eunice, Elena's family, Richard, Jim, Ruth's family, Todd's family, Matthew, Kirsten, Kathleen, Finley, Kirsty, Michael's family, John's friend, Christine, Awatash, Lugeta, Jan, Jean, Richard, Lee, Barb, Denny, Hildy, Mary, and Carol. Lord, in your mercy.
Thanks be to you for the lives of all who have died in Christ. Teach us to follow them in your ways and gather with them into the promise of eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God. trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen.
Please rise now as you are able for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." As we prepare our hearts for this holy meal, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and if you're taking communion from your pew, in this place of grace, all baptized Christians are welcome to the table of grace. If you wish to receive from the pew, you may do so using your communicable under my direction in a moment. Otherwise, we invite you to come forward and receive by intinction. Simply take the bread you receive and dip it into the wine, the larger chalice, or the grape juice, the smaller. For those receiving in the pew, you will first peel off the bottom tab to eat the bread and then peel off the top tab to drink the wine. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Christ is among us. Receive the bread of life. And for those of you coming up,
thank you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. All right, I know we have at least one announcement that wanted to be highlighted, and then you have some in your bulletin. If you could do, while you're coming for Susan, your Connect or Pray pew cards. If you haven't checked the church directory yet, it's on the small round table out in the narthex. Please put a check that you've read and your information is correct, and then check your pictures so you make sure you get one that you like. There are other announcements in your bulletin. And she's almost here, so I'll just say mine. Thank you so very much for welcoming me in. It's been a pleasure to be here. And I know Dan is looking forward to being back with you again this coming Sunday.
Good morning. I'm Susan Evans, and I'm here on behalf of the Worship and Music Committee. We are getting the chapel cleaned up and ready to use as a worship space for Lent and for time going forward as well. And so there's a group of people getting together after the service to finish getting that space cleaned up. And thank you to everyone in advance. I can't stay to help, but I've put together a list of what needs to be done, and I've left several copies of it on the altar in the chapel, and Rich Mathis will be overseeing what needs to be done as well. So again, thank you, and we're really looking forward to being able to use our chapel again for our Lenten services.
So Lent is coming. To find out more about the services, check your bulletin. I invite you to stand as you are willing and able. God bless you and keep you. Jesus grant you grace and truth, and the Spirit send peace upon your hearts now and forever.